Hello.
You're on.
We're both on.
We are on.
We're on and we're black and it's Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month.
Shout out everybody. To black people.
By the end of the show, we got to come up with a black history fact.
Do we? He did this last year. Do y'all remember this? He did this last year every show. He was supposed to come up with a black history fact. Let me tell y'all something. It was very difficult for him. He did not have them on deck the way that y'all would think he had them on deck. So, okay, by the end of the show, we're going to come up with a black history fact. I have something that we need to talk about that's black history.
Okay.
So that will be black history. How do you feel about the Renaissance tour?
Beyonce?
Mm-hmm.
God bless her.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy how much they're charging. And
let's
she's
slow down.
A billionaire. But
the ticket prices are not crazy. The resale prices are crazy.
So this is an economic opportunity for someone.
Yeah, for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, this is one of the issues that's happening with concert tickets and entertainment tickets right now. I experienced this literally less than 2 weeks ago. There was a concert that I wanted to go to in Atlanta, and I had the pre-sale code. I was online 15 minutes before. I was watching the clock. I was in the queue, and the ticket sold out in like 3 seconds. Mm. And the ticket prices were $90 a ticket. The resale price that I paid, and I literally think I got the least expensive ticket, was $800 a ticket.
Mm.
So
somebody came up.
You were
somebody's retirement plan.
No, everybody. Listen, when I got to the concert, the couple sitting next to me, or the two girls sitting next to me asked, inappropriately, but they asked, how much did you pay for your ticket? And I told them, they were like, well, we paid $1,200 per ticket.
And what'd you pay?
I paid $800.
Eight, okay.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
And, you know, she was upset. And I said, this has nothing to do with the concert. Like, you know, the people who are putting the event together, that's the resale value. These people could charge whatever they want to charge, and you could pay whatever you're going to pay. So I think a lot of the issue is, you know, that like a lot of the issues is that people are already reselling tickets, and that's the crazy, crazy price.
Yeah.
So Beyonce is not wilding. It's the other
the
people
resellers.
Who are wilding.
But they're blaming Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're expensive, but
anyway.
They're not crazy.
Have you seen her live?
So I hope we keep all of our listeners. I've never seen Beyonce live and I've never wanted to.
Beehive attack.
No.
Get her. Get her. It's the last part. What you mean you never wanted to?
So honestly, the only time I really like, I'm a Jay-Z fan.
Okay.
Right, I'm a huge Jay-Z fan.
And you can't be both.
You can be. I've been to every Jay-Z tour. You know, I don't
sexist.
Miss Jay-Z.
So you're sexist.
I'm not sexist.
You're a misogynist.
No,
female
because
misogynist.
When Rihanna goes on tour, I'm in the building.
Sure. Anti-Beyonce.
I'm not anti-Beyonce. I love Beyonce. I think she's one of the most talented people that the world has ever seen.
One of.
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Not the... Number
I don't
one.
Like sitting in arenas. I'm not. I think I'm like getting older. I don't really love
don't
the
know
arena.
If this is true.
Yeah, because
you are going to see Nas. So I don't know if this is true.
Word. And I am going to the what is it? Legends of the Streets tour.
Oh wow! Am I performing on that?
Oh my God, no!
I didn't know I was performing.
I'm going to the Legends of the Streets.
I
got to
check
tour.
My publicist and manager.
Listen, and it's
who's on the Legends of the Streets?
This is how you know I'm getting old.
All right, who's
Because this
it?
Is basically an old school concert.
All right, who's in it? Who's in it?
So it's Jeezy, who I just went to Atlanta to see. I flew to Atlanta, paid $800 to go see
so
Jeezy for one night only.
Salt and Pepper.
No, it's
MC Jeezy, Hammer.
Rick Ross.
Okay.
T.I.
Okay.
Gucci Mane.
Okay.
Jadakiss is what took it over the top for me. I feel very strongly about Jadakiss.
Jadakiss doesn't seem to fit with that crowd,
he
but
doesn't.
Okay.
He
okay.
doesn't. And it's somebody else like, oh, Juvenile.
Listen. If you don't back that ass up,
I got
girl,
my block on fire. Listen, I had, come
girl,
on.
Who is you playing with?
Yeah, and it's definitely an arena, but,
mm-hmm.
I got a suite.
Oh,
I can't be in
okay.
Gen Pop in the arena. Not in Atlanta.
Mm.
I'm too terrified. So I did get a suite. So I'm going to be age appropriate in my section.
Okay. So get a suite for Beyonce.
Nah, that's where the ticket is.
Nah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not, here's my thing with concerts now.
There you go. All right. But here's the other thing. I do know Beyonce performances are sickening. Like, even if you're not like the super diehard Beyonce fan, seeing her live and her performances are insane. I have so many of my male friends who were like, my girlfriend dragged me to a Beyonce concert and I outdanced her. Like, I didn't even know I knew that many songs. Pause. I never even knew I was a Beyonce fan, but she kept hitting with the bangers. Like, they were like, I literally stood up the entire time. My girlfriend was like, can you please get out the way?
None of my boys have ever told me
anything. Because they've never gone.
Remotely similar
to this. I bet money if you went, especially you really do like music and instrumentation. Bet money if your wife took you to a Beyonce concert, she'd be looking at you like, this... Oh, now you're a Beyonce. So. When did you become a Beyonce?
So here's my thing with big arenas. So if I'm going to a big arena, it's got to be an iconic artist that Beyonce. Is like a once in a lifetime thing. So like I've seen Beyonce. Stevie Wonder in a big arena. I've seen Prince in a big arena. You know, like I'm not. You know,
when she get old, you'll do.
No, I'm not really a Beyonce era person. Like I'm a little older, she ain't really my. You know, my jam like that. Okay. But, you know, God bless her. Incredibly talented.
Who do you need right now to go to on tour?
Maze.
Maze is? He's...
Maze.
Oh.
Not Maze.
I was about to say Maze just had a concert.
No, Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Maze is going on tour right now with
Not
Cameron.
Maze, man. Maze.
Okay.
That's what I need to
Not
see.
Not Maze?
No.
Or Big Orson Arena. Carriage.
No.
Mason Betha.
Oh my gosh.
No?
So we should talk about what's going on in the world because people have been waiting for us to give our preview.
No one's been
and
waiting.
Review.
No one's
people
been
have been hitting me up nonstop.
That's a
when
lot.
Are y'all gonna do your market review
That's
and preview?
Not, no one.
Like
no.
We're already a month into the year.
They were saying that until Beyonce announced her tour.
And now they're
now
like
that's all they can talk about. People are trying to figure out how you can pay. That's what we need to do a show about, how to pay for your Beyonce concert ticket.
Oh, easy.
I don't know.
Sell drugs.
Don't sell drugs.
Easy.
Speaking of selling drugs, so I do feel like I need to talk about this.
Oh my gosh. So we're not getting to the show?
We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. But it's also Black history. So there's other things to talk about other than the market. Was it last week? I think last week? Last weekend. If you follow me on social media, last weekend I was in Atlanta.
We don't.
You definitely do. Last week I was in Atlanta for Jeezy had a one night only concert at the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra where he performed with a live orchestra.
Wow.
And it was Black Tie. So anytime you give me an opportunity to be Black Tie,
Tiffany is showing up and showing
with
out.
With trap music, you know.
That seems like a rare opportunity.
It's
You're
a
like
rare,
anytime.
It's a once in a lifetime. That's why I was like, listen, whatever the ticket prices are, I'm going to pay it.
Yeah.
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And it's in Atlanta where you know it's nothing but Black people.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I didn't know what to expect because it still is Atlanta. So I didn't know how ratchet it was going to be. I brought my homegirl. Can I tell you how beautiful this event was? It was so beautiful.
Wow.
And I black tie, I go to several, like I've been to all the Black Ties. And so I was like, oh, you know, I don't want no watered down version. These going to be strippers there. It's going to be a lot of tassels. It's going to be, you know, a lot of things. When I beautifully done.
Of course.
It was a beautiful red carpet and everybody looked impeccable. It was gowns. It was beautiful gowns. Everybody just looked amazing. And I will say, I think the men slightly outdressed the women.
Of course we did.
First of all, not
you.
You
know how we do.
Because I've seen you in a tux.
Killing.
And.
Killing the game.
You clearly. Listen, I'm going to leave
Wiping
it alone.
The floor with
not,
these dudes.
You're definitely not having it. But these men had these custom tuxes that, I mean, like, it was clear they didn't buy this anywhere. It would only fit them on that night. It was such a beautiful event. Everybody was really happy to be there. It was very well done. Jeezy did a great job. The orchestra did a really great job. Everybody knew every song. Atlanta, you really did that. That was a really, really beautiful event.
Congratulations for that, Atlanta.
Yeah. And it was funded and sponsored by Greenwood, which is a Black banking institution.
Yeah. So, open up an account today.
Listen. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Speaking of opening accounts, imagine, for instance, someone had an investment account. I don't know, a 401k. So they might have been incredibly alarmed in January.
Let's get into this. So Alan is dying to talk about our market commentary. So if you're a client of Momentum Advisors, quarterly, we do a market commentary, and it is the firm's views on what is happening and what has happened in the market over the last quarter and what our expectations are. Our clients receive this, and also we put together like what changes we think need to happen to their portfolio based on our market commentary. This is Alan's labor of love every quarter, and it's finally done. And so he wants to share it with you guys, and that's why he's so pressed right now.
That's a terrible introduction.
Pressed.
That's a terrible intro. You're equally excited.
What about what?
About markets. Whatever. All right. So look.
Shout out to Meta. Anybody who works at Meta, y'all got any RSUs?
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all this week.
Yeah. Popped 20% this week.
Didn't it?
Even though it was down 60 last year. So it's still really on incremental. The water a little bit. But
if you just started. You only been at Meta for 30 days?
Yeah. First week getting RSUs. You just got there.
There you go. You win.
You in there. Like, this is how it is every week.
Listen. Ball out.
This is a good job.
They're not vested. You can't do nothing with them.
Yeah. All right. So last year was a horrible year for investors.
Yeah.
We've been kind of talking about it all year.
And financial advisors, because y'all been beating us over the head like we did it.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough year. In fact, it was such a tough year. It was the toughest year since 2008 and one of the three worst years in history dating back to 1950. Big shout out to Addis Marie Boomer. That's the year she commenced her life.
Yeah, 1950.
Yeah. When were your parents born?
I believe
that
was the year my mother was born.
Word.
1950. My father was born in 1945.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Stocks and bonds both went down last year, but for different reasons, and they went down significantly. Bonds went down because of inflation, right?
Yeah.
The idea of inflation is that the money that you have in your pocket right now is going to be worth less by the time you go to spend it tomorrow. So imagine the money that you get back in a year or 2 years, and that's how bonds work. You give your money, you get your money back plus interest. So by the time that money gets back to you, inflation has whipped its ass.
Yeah.
So bonds got killed last year. And then stocks went down because the Fed got involved. And the Fed said, look, we need to raise interest rates to slow down the economy. Well, guess what that also did? Slow down the stock market. So for two different reasons, the stock market and the bond market went down last year.
I have a third reason.
Okay.
If you want to hear it.
I would love to hear it.
Yeah. I also think the stocks went down because they were already too high. I think valuations around a lot of different companies were just wilding. Like COVID hit and we had like a downturn for like a second. And then it was just like everything was valued at just multiples on multiples, right? And I just think at some point there was going to need to be a correction. Now, it didn't all need to happen at the same time. But some of this is just getting back right with Jesus. Like getting back on the right track. Some of it.
Very unpopular opinion, but I'll receive
that. That's fine.
That.
I don't care.
I'll receive Fight me. That. Yeah. No, I won't. You're a girl. I don't hate girls. Okay. So as a result, because stocks went down like 18% and bonds went down like 13%, it didn't matter if you were conservative, moderate, or aggressive. You were down.
Yeah.
Anywhere between 14 and 20%. And in fact, there's never really been such a tight margin of difference between how the conservative folks did and the aggressive folks.
Yeah, and this is one of those times where diversification might not have really saved you.
Not a ton.
Not a ton.
A little bit, but not a ton.
But the thing is, this is a long-term game. So for people who are like, listen, stock market's down, I heard everybody losing their money, I'm never investing, or I want out. This is not how that works, right? Like there's volatility, there's good times and there's bad times. So, you know, the goal is to ride this thing out.
Absolutely.
Right now, it's a little, it's down in the valley.
Yeah. Two other things that happened last year, Russia, Ukraine, that was a big one.
So let's, real quick, why do people act like that's not still happening?
I know, but I'm saying last year was the big,
when it kicked off. Now we don't care no more.
We still care, and there's tons of people being killed.
Yeah.
They're shooting that,
I think that's,
hospitals.
That's really where I'm going with this.
All kinds
of it's still happening, right? So for people who are like, you know, that happened last year and that affected the market, it's still happening, and that's why it's still affecting the market. It's affecting the prices of things. We did a show on that, on how you are really feeling a lot of these things in your groceries. We're complaining about a lot of things where the price is going up. That has an effect on the market also. That has effect on your spending ability. So, you know, that is still happening. It might not be talked about, but Russia and Ukraine are still at war and people are still fighting for their lives. And it is having an impact on the things that we import.
Absolutely. And then the final thing is China. China had a zero COVID policy, which means they basically shut their economy down for yet another year, which really means that if you are waiting on things to come from China, whether it be a component for your iPhone or whether it be an actual product that was produced in China
or
entirely.
Or a Shein outfit.
It might have been delayed.
Yeah.
And you might be upset and you might have decided to spend your money elsewhere or not spend it at all. Right. And so last year, China was a big thing. And so, look, last year was crazy. Only 2% of the last 100 years have we had years like last year where stocks and bonds went down at the same time.
Well, we're going to ride it out.
Yeah, for sure. But it's not all bad news, Tiffany.
I know it's not.
There's a lot of other good things going on. So last year, we were teetering on the verge of recession, but we did not break. We did not fall into a recession.
Here's
last
my
year.
Other thing about that. When people talk about recession, you can't tell certain people we're not in a recession. Right. Like we've talked about the actual definition of a recession. And so we have not hit that marker. But because people throw the term around so much, people swear we're in a recession right now. And we've been in one when in fact we are not.
Yeah. So historically, we talked about a recession being two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. We got that last year, but it was really, really minor. Yeah. It was like point percent.
Yeah.
And so we had two quarters, the last two quarters of the year, we went up quite handsomely. The last two quarters. Our economy is very resilient. In fact, the National Bureau of Economic Research is the group that determines if we're in a recession. They don't just look at GDP, they also look at a number of other factors. And because they really define a recession as a widespread economic collapse, right? And so they look at personal income. Well, that's been up. They look at employment. Well, that's been up. Unemployment is at a under 4% rate. It's been under 4% rate for a very long time. And so that's been up. Consumer spending has been up and manufacturing has been up. So really, it's like when you break down all these different components, a lot of the economy is still moving forward. The only aspect that's actually turned negative is retail and wholesale sales. So the amount of money you're spending at the mall went down. And that's because you had to spend more money on your gas and your food.
That's a fact.
But the economy is still rolling forward. Wages have grown. We've seen that in our businesses. Unfortunately, folks are making a little more money.
So wages have grown, right? And that is good news. But if we're keeping it a buck, a lot of jobs are down. I know this is the good news segment, so I'm not going to bring that up just now. But if you're in the tech industry right now, it's a bloodbath.
Yeah, in tech.
Yeah.
But what about in other industries?
In other industries?
Not yet. Yeah, our unemployment rate just got lower. We're at 3.4% right now. It was 3.7%. Like the month before. So like things are still growing really, really well. In fact, there's over 10 million job openings right now and only 5.7 million unemployed in this country. So there's two job opportunities for every person that's unemployed right now.
Do you file unemployed if you just don't want to go to work?
If you don't want to go to work.
If you just decide I'm just not working.
Yeah, you really can't. You're not eligible because they ask you. I've never been on unemployment, but apparently they ask you, are you looking for work?
Yeah, I was on unemployment once. A very long time
but they ask you, are you looking for work? If you're like, nah, bump that, I just don't want to go, then you're not eligible.
Okay. I think there's an increasing percentage of those people also that we're not talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of folks that are doing other stuff.
Yeah.
They're doing Uber Eats, they're doing Grubhub.
Chilling.
They're doing what's that called? OnlyFans.
Word.
Only pastors.
That's not happening. That is not happening.
So consumers, we added a lot of money in the bank during COVID, $2.3 trillion in excess savings. They spent about $1 trillion of it last year.
We're down to
about $1 trillion, but that's still a good thing. $1 trillion in the bank, that's a good position to be in for a lot of folks. Where's your trillion being held right now, Tiffany?
One of those banks we talked about on our previous episode.
Man, bump those banks. You know what we should do, by the way? Right after we did the Bump Your Bank show, would you believe I lost my wallet?
Tell the story, Alan.
I'm not telling a story. We should do a whole episode about it.
Okay.
Like what happens when you lose your wallet?
What happened to Alan's wallet?
I know.
This is a tale, y'all. I think that should be the next podcast episode.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for the next podcast episode where we talk about what happens when you lose your wallet.
Yeah.
And my God, this story is twists and turns.
Yeah.
Twists and turns.
I know what to do now.
Do you?
I know what not to do. Listen. I know where not to drop my wallet. I'll tell you that.
It's a cliffhanger. It's a cliffhanger. We will talk about it next week. But it has been a time watching Alan move through life.
With no wallet.
With no wallet.
Yeah. What's been really unfortunate is traveling on a business trip with Tiffany, where normally I have my business card and I pay for stuff.
Listen.
And now I got to look to Sugar Mama to pay for stuff.
You're broke ass. That's traveling tough. With Alan and he don't got no cards.
Oh my gosh.
Then he can't eat.
Oh my
without
gosh.
Asking me first.
Oh my gosh. Whatever.
It's
whatever.
Fun. Ladies, hide your man's wallet just for a couple days to see how nice it'll be to you.
Other good news, real quick. Europe avoided a major energy crisis because, you know, Russia basically said, look, what oil, what gas? You ain't getting none. And yet Europe still managed to make it through
the
winter.
Is that what happened? I feel like people were being like trying to be noble and like, listen, we're not about to take your gas. Not what y'all are doing.
They tried. But then Russia said, guess what? You can't have any of it.
Yeah.
We're gonna cut you off. And they thought that would bring Europe to its knees.
No.
It didn't. They had a mild winter and they had some gas stored up. I guess they have been.
Look at God.
You know, thinking ahead. God. Other good things, inflation has peaked. You know, inflation was a big story for last year. It peaked at 9%, and now it's down to 6.5%, okay. And it's been going lower.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Let's go.
And then finally, China's starting to loosen up. They're starting to open up again. Not all bad news.
It sounds like summer 2023 going to be fire. Inflation's down. China's outside. I'm looking forward to it. We have more to talk about with the market commentary. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. We are back.
Yes.
Yes. We are giving you our quarterly market update, right? So this is something that we do every quarter.
Yes.
We do it for our clients and we tend to try to do it on the podcast as well. We talk about what has been happening in the market this last quarter and what we expect to be happening moving forward. So if you don't have a financial advisor, if you're unclear or you're watching the news and it's freaking you out, this is our expert advice that we share with our clients.
Absolutely. If you do have a financial advisor, then this could be a way for you to engage with them a little bit more.
100%.
Now, I know a little something, man. We could talk, go bar for bar about the market.
Yeah, ask them their views. Maybe they know something different. Maybe they feel differently about something. Or if you have a financial advisor, ask them where the hell is their market commentary? Because you should have received it by now.
Yeah, word. Yeah, so. I was just like a week late.
Yeah, that's not
so
the point. It's
that means
now.
There should be done.
But our clients know it's coming.
Yeah, that's a fact. So what do we think is going to happen for 2023? So the first thing that we always do is we don't just think about what do we think is going to happen next year. We also look at what do other prominent Wall Street economists and researchers, what do they think? And so we did a little poll. We polled a number of firms, BlackRock, Wells Fargo, RBC, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. And we said, look, what are your views on where the stock market's going? What are your views on where the economy's going? And here's like a little summary of what the street thinks right now. Number one, economic growth is going to slow down. So we had 2.9% GDP growth last quarter. It's probably going to drop into the 0-point-somethings or maybe the 1-point-somethings moving forward in 2023. But 50-50 chance on if we get a recession or not.
Okay.
Number two, volatility is going to continue. So the stocks are still going to be up and down. But on average, folks think the market's going to go up about 9%.
Okay.
This year.
That wouldn't be bad at all.
That was crazy. In January, it went up 5. So, you know, going to be a bumpy 4% coming if we get the 9%. Number three, earnings growth is set to decline. And the multiple paid on the market is going to go up next year.
That means stocks are going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
By our standard, right? So the dollar amount may fluctuate more or less, but the multiple or ratio that we look at to determine if something is expensive or not, right? The value of it is going to increase.
Yeah. Yeah. We look at the PE multiple, which is the price as the numerator in the fraction.
And earnings.
The earnings is the denominator, right? And so if the price goes up, but the E gets smaller, and that's the expectation for next year, well, guess what? You just got a bigger PE multiple. Meaning the market just got more expensive. Like when you buy a stock, what you're really buying is, you know, a percentage of their profits, right? And that's what the PE multiple represents.
So for example.
Okay.
Earlier this week, I had a weak moment.
Okay. Moment of weakness? The devil?
had a moment
the devil
of
tempted you?
Mm-hmm.
And you bit.
And I did.
You bit the apple, Eve.
I did. And
now all of mankind must
suffer. I went to Quick Check and bought a bag of Doritos.
Okay.
And the price was up, but the bag was smaller.
It was a bad multiple.
That was a bad multiple. That is what's happening in the market.
You got hit two times.
Doritos were $5.
What?
But the bag was smaller.
How big of a bag did this woman get?
It wasn't a big bag. Even if I wanted a big bag, they don't make bigger bags anymore.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening in the market. You're paying more for less.
You couldn't drive a half a mile to the grocery store.
First of all, this was the size that I needed to be. Okay. All right. I already gave in to this moment of weakness. And so I didn't need to take it too far.
They need to take her debit card away also.
No. Who's? No.
Yeah, you need to lose your Gucci wallet.
That doesn't happen. First of all, no. Not a Gucci wallet. And it doesn't happen often. I'm allowed these moments.
Okay. All right, fine. I won't judge. Other things that the economists expect is that inflation has certainly peaked. And in fact, we've been talking about these crazy high inflation numbers last year. Would you believe, Tiffany, that the average expectation for inflation starts with a 2? Two what? Point something.
What? When? For this year?
For this year. That's the expectation. By the end of the year, we'll be in the 2s again.
Hear me out, people. I'm just throwing it out there. If inflation goes down to 2%, to 2 anything, I know, like, to me, this is what I think about because it's something that I'm working on for this year. These interest rates on these homes might be back to being something sexy again.
At a time when Tiffany might be in the market.
Listen.
Who knows?
Who knows? I'm not going to tell y'all because I don't want y'all bidding on the same house I'm trying to go for. But I'm going to tell y'all after the fact and we'll talk about it. But interest rates coming down means a variety of different things on larger purchases, especially these mortgage rates that are wilding right now.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, they don't expect the Fed to cut interest rates anytime soon.
It's not about them.
Inflation might be a little low.
It's not about them.
Okay.
Because we go strong arm Jerome.
Yeah. We're going to jack Jerome up.
Does anybody like go to school with his kids? Or like, ever see him at the grocery store?
This is terrible.
I'm not saying to do anything. I don't want you to do anything. I just want to know how he lives his life as a normal citizen with his foot on our necks the way that he does. Like, does he feel any pressure? I'm just saying, like, is it just all good for Jerome everywhere he goes? He doesn't walk into a bank and they're like, I don't want him
like
here.
Nobody smacks his grocery bag
anything,
out of his hand.
You know what I mean? Or just like, they don't bag his groceries. Like, here, bag them yourself. Like, does he feel any
kind
pressure?
Of microaggression?
Literally.
It sounds like you would be giving him all kinds of smoke.
Just curious.
Real situation. Let's say you were in the grocery line in front of Jerome Powell. He's behind you.
I'm in front of him?
You're in front of him.
I'm slowing down.
Okay.
I'm slowing down.
That's it?
I'm about to start looking at the magazines. I'm not going through the register on time.
Okay.
And I'm looking back at him, mad times, okay. Wishing he would say something.
Are you putting a little slicer on the thing, on the conveyor belt, the little separator? You putting it
you
on
know what
aggressively?
I'm gonna do? If I'm really trying to take it up a couple of notches, mm-hmm. If it's a divider there, okay. I'm removing it.
Okay.
Right? And I'm going to start looking through his groceries to see if I want anything he got.
Oh, I know a good one. Why don't you, when he's ringing up, just ring something up and then walk out.
And then stand there. No, I'm not walking out. I'm going to stand
there. No, ring it up so he has to pay for it.
Yeah, and I'm going to stand there.
Yeah.
And he better pay for it.
And bite the apple, Eve.
He better pay for it.
Right in his face.
I just got dental work. I'm not biting directly in the apples, but I'm going to stand there.
What about unwashed apples?
Right, I'm just going to stand there and let you know I did it.
Ooh.
And I want you to say something.
Buy the Doritos, the $5 Doritos.
And just put it on his.
Put it on his tab and be like, yo, this is your fault, Jerome. Raising these interest rates like that.
Ooh,
now look at my Doritos.
Or I'm going to put the Doritos on the conveyor for him to pay for it. I'm going to stare at him. I'm going to stare him down like with clenched fists.
Okay.
Right? Daring, like, I wish you would not pay for these. He going to pay for them.
Okay.
I'm going to open them and turn the bag upside down and let them all fall on the floor and walk out.
Ooh. Man, why don't you dump it in his grocery bag?
Word.
Because that's going to be messy when he gets home. How was he going to explain that to his wife?
She know what's up.
Cheryl Powell.
She know what's up. Her name ain't Cheryl.
Ginger Powell.
Ginger Powell.
Ginger Powell going to be so mad?
No, she's not. She know what's up.
So here's what the economists expect this year. All right? Because people have been dumping Doritos in Jerome's grocery bag, they feel like the Fed is pretty much done raising interest rates.
Here's the thing. How long is the term on this position? Ain't nobody else? Y'all not hiring? He's been at the Fed forever.
He's not been
forever. He had to die. How long has he been there?
Trump appointed him.
Word? I feel like he's been there for like 12 years.
No.
When is it over? Why didn't Biden do something about this? How long is the term?
So the Fed is in place for 4 years. So
4 years.
Biden put him back in place.
He
let him ride.
We got another 4 years.
Yeah.
So when Biden leaves, he's out.
Well, unless the next president keeps it going. Because they tend to work for multiple terms. There's no like term limits. Like he could be in a role for 12 to 18 to 24 years. Like I don't think there's anything stopping him.
Damn. That's got to be, I mean, listen, I'm not super mad at Jerome. I understand how and why he's doing the things that he's doing, but.
Yeah, well, you know
he
why.
He could be a little nicer about
it. Either way, they think he's pretty much done. So, you know, last year they were raising interest rates by 0.75% every time. This past week, it was just.
You think
just,
he receives bribes?
It was just 0.25%.
You think he receives
just
bribes?
0.25%.
He's still going. That means he's still going.
I know, but very incremental, very small now.
I don't care. Stop.
He was punching you in the face before. Now he's just plucking you on the hand.
Nah.
Just a small pluck.
Right. And somebody's got to hit him with a bat.
That's not right.
So, you can't hit somebody and there's no repercussions.
Yo, nowadays, people are really attacking government.
This is why I'm asking the question. I'm not saying because I want this to happen.
I just wonder
what it is like. He has to feel an immense amount of pressure.
I don't think he cares. Nobody's coming for him.
You don't know that. And that's what I'm asking. Like, after he announces an increase in interest rates, I know he's not going outside. You're not going straight to the gym. You have to just... I'm going to lay low for a couple days. You know what I mean? I feel like he probably only like shaves and gets haircuts for the press conference. And maybe, then after that, he just grows it out.
Yeah, I think they probably come into his house, I would imagine.
You can't know where he lives. Yeah. You can't be knowing where he lives.
Okay, a secret undisclosed location for his haircuts. Maybe he gets his groceries delivered to him.
He has to.
At a secret undisclosed
location.
Because
if it's not, it's Doritos everywhere.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, he's almost done, so.
And they must, the Instacart account cannot be in his name, because.
It's in Ginger's name,
of
course.
It has to be in Ginger's name.
GP, are you with me?
I'm picking the worst produce available if I'm doing Instacart for Jerome Powell.
Why are you so petty?
I'm saying
he's petty. Why wouldn't you just fight him? Why you got to do all of these microaggressions?
Because that's not available, and I'm not trying to commit a crime, but I need you to feel that we're not happy.
Okay.
Don't like it.
All right. Well, maybe for Black History Month,
I'm breaking all the eggs. Oh my God, in his Instacart order.
You know how expensive it is to break eggs nowadays?
He paid for it. I didn't. I'm breaking the eggs and I'm putting it back in the carton.
You're gonna pluck each individual egg?
Just put it back in the carton.
Yeah. Okay.
And deliver it like ain't nothing happened.
What are you gonna do to his milk?
No, I'm not touching. First of all, you shouldn't even be drinking milk.
Oh, you could put a little pinhole in
the milk. No, that's horrible. You shouldn't even be drinking milk. That's not even good for you.
Yeah, okay. All right, so where do we go from here, Tiffany? Not you and Jerome, but the stock market. Where does the stock market go from here? So we think that there's three scenarios. Really,
yeah, up, right? Flat, or down. You don't have to be
a scientist
for that.
Did you write the market commentary?
Listen, that's so basic. Let me tell you something about
it's not
finance.
Basic. This is scientific.
It's not scientific. And a lot of this stuff that you guys think is like groundbreaking is basic as hell.
Oh my gosh.
Where else could it go? Up, down, or straight? Is there another option?
Yeah.
Where? Backwards?
Sideways.
No, that's not an option.
Sideways up, sideways down.
Sideways up.
Blippity.
This is
up.
How you know men run this industry.
Blippity dippity down.
Because it's kind of basic.
Yeah. Well, those are the three outcomes. Tiffany, I don't know how you must be clairvoyant because you didn't even look at the notes. Okay. But there's a chance that the market goes up a ton. Like the chance that would make it go up is if the Fed starts to pause a little bit sooner.
Listen.
Right? The middle scenario is, you know, incremental increases, but he pauses after a while. And the bad scenario is the Fed goes crazy and we fall into a deep recession.
I think it is going to have to pause. I think there is going to have to be a pause because, again, I know people are not feeling it right now, but the significant amount of layoffs in the tech industry, right, is going to have a trickle-down effect in other places. And
I think not.
That's great.
No one cares about tech.
That's not true.
We hate technology in this country.
And the people who also are working in tech, I think, are also, and this is from our experience, are also the people who are gaining and amassing wealth quickly, who are making large purchases, who are buying real estate quickly because they were seeing these significant increases in their pay and they were getting these high paying tech jobs. They're buying cars and, you know, they were doing a lot of big financial moves that is going, that ultimately we're going to feel that.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah, it's not the broke people buying houses and cars. Like, it's the people who are getting these really great jobs and, you know, really excited about their future in tech. And that is going to have an impact on how these larger purchases are swaying.
So would you still date someone in the tech industry? Listen, knowing they just got laid off and their industry isn't going so well right now?
What? Yeah, I mean, first of all, you probably shouldn't be dating with no job. I think that's probably
you've got nothing but time to devote on.
You don't have
her.
Anything to talk about on the date.
That's not true. Watch the news during the day.
No. And I don't have an issue with that. First of all, we all know I pay my own bills. So as long as you're paying yours, sure, we can go out on a date. I gotta go to work though. I don't want you to feel away.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So look, the stock market gave us a little glimmer of hope in the last quarter of the year. We had a Santa Claus rally.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about Santa Claus right now.
Not Santa Claus, the rally.
I can't imagine if you're dating somebody, if you just start dating somebody and they get laid off, do they expect you to get them a job?
What? Why would you have to get them a job? Help them, get them?
Like, yo, you know anybody who could hire me? Do they expect that? Is that, I'm asking, I don't know. No one's ever asked me that, but I do get people jobs.
If you care about the person, why not help them?
I'm not saying help them. Help them is like, I'm going to look at your resume if I know some people, but like, do they expect you to like,
yes.
How do you fit? Do you, yes. Okay.
That's why you date.
That's not what I mean. So I guess what I'm saying is like, do they expect you to get them a job at your company?
Oh, no, that would be bad.
That's what I mean. I don't mean, like, if you know, of course, like, if you know people and you can hook it up.
Yo, we do have one set of clients where the husband and wife work at the same company. I was like, yo, y'all work at the same company, got the same kids, live in the same house. Y'all must get sick of each other. And it's like, nah.
If they're like, yo, you hiring? What do you say? Because
I think you just start kissing at that point.
First of all.
Just start kissing. That's all you could really do. Yeah, just start kissing.
We gotta stop
Change
dating.
The subject.
We gotta stop dating. We can't date and I get you a job.
One or the other. Pick one.
Word. Not that's. I think that's what you said.
And they're like, ladies, my economic survival or love.
Ladies, if you're in this position right now, and he's asking for you to get him a job at your company, let him know I could do that. We gotta stop dating. It can't be both.
What if he looks mad good though?
Then I mean. First of all, I've dated somebody. First, let's be clear. I'm going to just go ahead and throw it out there if anybody was wondering. My dating history for people that I've actually dated.
How did we get here?
Is so fire.
Oh, my gosh.
These men are gorgeous. Oh just gosh. So you know, I shoot.
She's really
I
not
shoot
playing.
Threes out here.
She doesn't want to talk
when
about
When I shoot
the
shots, I shoot
all.
Half court shots.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay?
She's not playing.
So I expect him to look mad good. This is where I was going.
You know you got some duds mixed in there.
I don't know them.
Yes, you do.
I don't know them. Listen, and I'm not a superficial person, but.
You got some duds. Everybody got something to
do. Yeah, no, for sure. We didn't date multiple times is what I'm saying.
Yeah, everybody got one of those.
I got a couple.
Yeah, strobe light honeys.
What is that? What? You only look good in a strobe light?
Yeah, like you met them at the club when the strobe light was on, then you see them in the daytime.
First
like,
of
oh.
All, you are again telling your age because I ain't never been in a club where they play whatever strobe light.
You never heard Black Sheep song, Strobe Light Honeys? Oh my
no.
gosh.
Mm-mm. I can, no. I've been in a club with a black
honey,
light, like Belly. Like if you walking through like Belly, like Nas and them, but not a strobe light.
If you see a honey by the strobe light, black, I hope you got good sight. You never heard this song?
Yo. Oh.
Hold on.
Oh my God. Is Mobb Deep?
No, man.
Oh, you said it was Mobb Deep.
I said Black Sheep.
Yeah, no.
You gotta know this song. The chorus is, I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta go. Don't go, I gotta go, I gotta go, I don't go.
That sounds familiar.
Something ain't right. It's the strobe light.
It's the strobe light. That's the name of the song?
Strobe Light Honey, yeah.
I didn't know that. All right, so the real question is, Alan, what are your experience with strobe lights, strobe light honeys?
All right, fine. So back in my single days, I had one time met this girl in the club and brought her home.
It just wasn't what you thought.
For one, she was funky as hell.
Like, you thought it was the whole club. You didn't know it was just her.
I would never fathom that a woman could smell like that.
That wasn't the strobe light, Alan. That's
like,
just.
Looked crazy when the light came on and smelled horrible.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad day. That was a very bad day.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do nothing with that.
So Alan, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't have that experience.
And now she's in the crib. Like, you got to figure out how to get them out. Yeah, strobe light.
Homies, that wasn't my experience.
So yeah, we had a nice stock market rally in the fourth quarter. But we'll talk about it, I guess, after the break.
We will. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back?
Yes.
I mean, we've been talking about a little bit of everything. We were supposed to be talking about the market.
We're trying to talk about the markets. And I had a nice little theme. The theme was going to be beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Unless it's a strobe light.
Oh my gosh. It is in the eye of the beholder. Because while everything's been ugly, there's some beauty out there.
And I think we're optimistic about what this year could look like. It's not going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be lights out like we've seen in past years, but I think it won't be as much of a bloodbath as it was last year.
Yeah, that's a fact. So last year, the stock market dropped by 18%. And typically when you get a bad year, the next year turns out to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so that's a possibility. We certainly got a little glimpse of that in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter of last year, the stock market in the U.S. went up by 8%. And international, where Russia-Ukraine was going on, where everyone thought there'd be a major recession, up 17% last year.
Because capitalism is real.
And you never know where your blessing's going to come from. One of the things that made the international market go up so much last year is the dollar. The dollar is starting to decline a little bit.
Because it was up.
Yeah,
it was up. And shopping in Europe while the dollar was up was fire.
Yeah, well, now there's a little dampening on the flame.
Well, chill out, because I'll be back in June, and I need y'all to chill out a little bit.
So the bond market got killed. Last year, bond market was down 13%.
This was really, really unfortunate. And this was kind of crazy to see happening.
But here's the beautiful thing. Would you believe, Tiffany, the average investment grade bond today yields about 4%?
Okay.
Like a year ago, it was like 1%, one and some change, almost 2. Now you're getting 4%. That's pretty nice to look at.
That's quite an increase. We like that.
Right. Your money market funds, we had that whole show. You can get 3 to 4% on a money market fund today. High yield bonds are yielding 8% right now.
Okay. Call high yield bonds junk bonds. I don't like that. Somebody needs to rebrand that immediately.
They did. High yield. That's what they did.
Perfect.
Okay. So not every part of the market went down last year. Energy stocks were up 60% last year. Did you know that?
I did not know that. 60? Yeah.
60.
That's a lot.
60.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to be going solar?
So we've given everybody else's views. I'm going to walk through our views, me and Tiffany's joint views and the Momentum Advisors view.
Okay? Let's do it.
And Tiffany and I always agree 100% on every single thing.
That's a lie.
So number one, we agree that the economy is slowing down because interest rates are high. But there's a 50-50 chance of a recession. And I don't think it makes that big of a difference if there's a recession or not. Like, growth is slowing down. It doesn't mean that growth in your life has to slow down.
100%. We've told you guys before. I think we've done a show. Have we done a show? Like, the recession, you don't have to,
you can choose not to participate.
Yeah, you can definitely choose not to participate in a recession. And so, yes, while the world or the country might be going through a recession, honestly, it might not have a major impact on you at all, depending on how you live your life. And if it does, it might be very, very small.
Absolutely. And famously, Harry S. Truman, you know, we always quote him. He said that it's a recession when your neighbor loses his job.
It's a depression when you lose yours.
You see what I'm saying?
I don't know why I know a Harry S. Truman quote. That came right off the dome, and I don't like that.
But it's real. Like, it may be a recession out there, but it doesn't have to impact you. And if it does impact you, then we've got some strategies for how you can work around it.
100%.
Okay? So people ask us, like, so what do you think is going to happen in the stock market next year? We're approaching this year with some caution, for sure. Like, we recognize that there are parts of the market that are really cheap and attractive, but we don't necessarily think it's going to be a crazy great year for the stock market this year. I'm not saying sell all your stocks, stay invested, but understand that it might continue to be a bumpy ride for a little bit.
Yeah. So I think this year might just be a little bit of a recovery year, right? Like you might not make a ton of money. You might just kind of get back to where you were before things went left.
Yeah, that's a fact. I am looking for certain things to be really game changers this year. One of the things that I'm looking at is artificial intelligence, AI. So my analyst this past week showed me ChatGPT. Have you seen this thing yet?
I've heard you talk about it nonstop, and I don't like it.
So ChatGPT is potentially a game changer for a lot of industries. So I went to this website. You had to make a little username and password. And I basically asked it these questions. I said, Chat, can you please write me a rap song? I need it to be 10 verses long with a killer hook about a girl that I want to date. Yo, ChatGPT came up with some bars. That's nice disgusting. Little hook.
You
the
should
whole
be ashamed
thing.
Of yourself.
So I'm saying like maybe...
As a child of hip-hop, you should be ashamed of yourself.
That the thing came up with bars?
That you even asked.
That's the first thing that I tried to ask.
That you are out here just having faux bars.
But then, you know, my second thing I asked, I said, ChatGPT, I need you to write me a 30-minute speech about the need for disability insurance in the African-American community. Bars. It wrote a banging speech with statistics. I'm like, this might be our next podcast script.
Here's the thing. No, it won't be. Okay. As long as I'm
on here. Yo, first of all, if I did it, you wouldn't even know.
I would know because I know you don't sound like that. And for everybody who books Alan for speaking engagements, I'm just letting you know now, you might want to stop.
Yo, this thing, by the way, it's not plagiarized. It doesn't copy stuff from the internet. It uses its own words. And this is the scary part for kids that are in school. Like, I bet there's ChatGPT doing all kinds of homework assignments and essays right now. But, you know, the fact that it comes up with original thought that is relevant and uses real statistics, I mean, like, there's some powerful implications.
So this is what you got to do, teachers. I remember our teachers used to do this back in the day, and now you have to implement it again. Back in the day, I don't know if this happened to you, if you had to write, like, an essay, I remember my teachers would require me to submit a first draft.
Okay.
You would have to submit your first draft. They would give you notes on that. And then you would have to go back and like rewrite it or work on your final draft. Teachers are going to have to require like a first draft now so that you're not using this AI, or all work is going to have to be done on site, like in school. Staring at you.
Probably the second part. Because you could ask Chat. This thing does it in like seconds. So you could definitely say, give me a first draft. Now rewrite it, but make it sound smarter or make it sound dumber. Like you can say little things like make it sound dumb, make it sound plain.
I don't like this. I don't like this. But from a financial perspective, it's going
to
have an impact.
But imagine this just for a second. Just go with it for a second. Let's say you go to see your doctor. Your doctor you always go see anyway, right? And your doctor happens to, you come in with a certain boil on your skin. I don't know. And the doctor's like, you know what? I haven't seen this before. Let me check my chatbot GPT. And it knows all the latest research on skin boils. And you use it as a chance, the doctor uses it as a chance to just bone up on the latest research and the latest treatments for these skin conditions.
I hear you. I do think there's value in it, but I do think it will do more harm in human hands than good.
Okay.
That is what I'm saying. It's the user that I'm concerned about. Not the technology.
What about customer service?
But you going to tell me how to be a, what? Like if
chat with this thing instead of chatting with some person.
I'm not chatting with her. I'm not.
Dumb.
Listen, like I'm not social. I'm not chatting.
You never pick the option of, okay, well, you can send a text message right now or you can wait online for 30 minutes on
the
phone.
For sure.
So you might be talking to AI.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You don't even know you're talking to.
I'm not kikiing with you, asking you
chat.
Who won the Super Bowl.
No, man, on
how
your
you
phone.
Feeling a day.
Oh my god,
you said chat. So yes, that's what I thought about. Like I'm engaging
not
in
small
a social
talk.
Capacity.
No, you call customer service and you
sure.
end up chatting online with AI. Like it's probably going to eliminate some jobs in customer service.
That's a fact.
It might impact certain countries like India, where there's a lot of outsourcing.
Word.
But I'm saying this could be a real revolutionary thing. There's also news publications that are writing 80% of their articles using AI right now.
Yeah, well, that's also the issue. Journalism is the issue.
It's coming into the advertising space where AI is being used to try to find the most effective way to spend ad dollars.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's coming for you.
It's not coming for
me. It's doing podcasts. Oh, they got a new AI thing that Microsoft has where it could actually imitate your voice with perfect sound. So, listen,
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well,
it's
coming. So,
I don't like it. I don't know why you even brought it up. I don't like it.
Yeah. It's coming for Google. Like, imagine if you could do the chat instead of a Google search, where sometimes Google search don't come out right. Chat's going to come out perfect.
Why? How do you, that's, how do you know it's coming out perfect? Like, what do you, that's my issue. Like, you don't know where this information is coming from. And if they're pulling information from the internet, everything on the internet is not true. And everything on the internet is, it has been provided by a human.
But it knows.
But it doesn't know.
It knows.
Here you go. Here you go.
All I'm saying is that it's an exciting new technology that's going to impact a lot of factors of our life. It will likely impact your investment portfolio, and it's something you should know about, and it's something that we're paying attention to. That's it. We're just talking about our views.
Okay.
Although last year was the worst year for diversified portfolios since 2008, we do continue to believe in asset allocation, which includes having stocks and bonds and some alternative assets all mixed together. We do think it works over time. It worked last year.
Listen, we've always talked about, you, as an investor, you have to ride the ride. If you're a day trader, this, you live a different type of life. But if you are an investor, the primary factor of being an investor is time. And good and bad things happen, and you have to ride it out.
As a fact.
So for that reason, asset allocation and diversification are still important.
Facts. And the final thing I'll say is that investments are one part of your financial picture. It's not the entire financial picture. It's really important to have a plan. And part of that plan is understanding what your personal goals are. What things do you want to achieve? And what's the game plan on how to get there? And there's always going to be bumps in the road. There's always going to be ups and downs in the market. But now's a great time to revisit your plan with your financial advisor or with yourself. What are the different things that need to be updated? Maybe I need to save a little bit more money because of last year. Maybe I need to potentially work an extra 6 months. But these are all things that are dynamic that need to be updated now that we've had a pretty bad year in the market.
Yeah, 100%. Especially if you're thinking about doing large purchases, or to Alan's point, if you think about retiring this year, you might want to ride this out before you start taking money out of your portfolio. And again, if you had money invested so that you could, you know, eventually go liquid and buy a house or buy something else, again, you might want to ride that out as well, but or not, right? You just want to talk to somebody. You want to talk to the person that you strategize with to make sure you're making the right decisions based on the place where we are right now.
That's it. That's my final
note. That's your final. Okay. So I need, who's winning the Super Bowl?
Eagles.
Word. I feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I'm excited about with the Super Bowl is we got two black quarterbacks.
Facts.
First time in history.
Okay. So there was.
I always root for the black quarterback, so I'm kind of like torn. And so I think Mahomes is dope, by the way.
If there's a black coach, two black quarterbacks is great also. So somebody was saying on my Facebook feed, you know, how do we pick since there are two black quarterbacks? And a guy responded by saying, hurt is already too fine. Like, he already looks too good. It's, everything's already working in his favor. So it needs to go the other way. It needs to go to Mahomes.
Mahomes is a cute man also.
Not like Hurt, though.
Oh, my God. One thing I like about Jalen Hurts, though, he has a black woman agent.
I like that. And yeah, yeah, so that's how a man responded. And the woman responded by saying that he has a black female agent. His entire team is black women. So that's where we're going.
And he's a Q.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's getting blacker by the minute.
Listen.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going for the Eagles regardless. I did not know that.
Yes, he is.
Shout out to the Omegas. Y'all had a rough week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just leave it right there.
And she's a Delta. So they got the whole.
Listen.
Yeah, Greek thing working.
Okay. Omegas is working out in your favor.
Yeah, but enjoy the Super Bowl, y'all.
Yeah, 100%. You watching it?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it this year. A little bit.
A little bit.
If yeah, you, it's two black quarterbacks. I got to watch that.
You got to watch Black History Month. Two
yeah.
black
Oh, Black History Trivia. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
We got to end on this. This
I
is the,
let
this
us
is,
go
this is where
when
we're,
we were safe.
All right, Tiffany.
We're almost out of here.
Have you ever heard of Stephen Smith?
Yeah.
Not Stephen A. Smith, but Stephen Smith. So Stephen Smith grew up as an indentured servant in Pennsylvania. As a young man, he was assigned to work in the lumber yards for a man called Thomas Boode. And that guy made all of his money in the lumber industry. So after buying his freedom at the age of 21 for $50, he bought himself out of indentured servanthood. He continued to work in the lumber yard, but then my man established his own lumber business in 1822. As well as doing lumber, he also dealt in coal. By the 1850s, Stephen Smith was grossing over $100,000 per year in annual sales. By 1857, he was worth $500,000, which in today's dollars would be $13.5 million. And this is during slavery he did all this.
Come on, Stephen.
On top of being a businessman, he was a minister. He was a chairman of a black abolitionist organization in Pennsylvania. He was a great African-American businessman that should inspire all of us to be proud.
I see you shining, Stephen. Okay, the Pennsylvania Smiths. Holler at Momentum Advisors. We can help you navigate this market.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's it. We will be back next week, and we are definitely talking about what happened to Alan's wallet. Wild ride, y'all. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.